quite a bit that we're going to cover today, but I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now what you can expect over the next hour. Here in this first segment, I want to talk a little bit about OPEC and how OPEC is beginning to slash their oil production, the causes for that, and what you can expect both at the gas pump, at the grocery store, and even in November. But in the second segment, I don't know if anybody saw this. Zach, I don't know if you saw this. There was Kanye West made a little news this week because when he was in Paris, I think he was in Paris, France, or somewhere in France, I'm not exactly sure, but he was at a fashion show that he had put together. Because as you know, this guy's a billionaire, huge music producer, fashion designer. I mean, this guy's all over the arts world, all over. Been wildly successful. But he's also, as he will call himself, a free thinker. And I like Kanye. I don't listen to his music because it's just not the music I listen to. But I like him more and more and more because he is not afraid to talk about what he believes, and he's not afraid to think through things. He calls himself a free thinker. So he wore this shirt, this White Lives Matter shirt, and he had an interview with Kanye West did an interview with Tucker Carlson. He flew straight from France, came all the way back to the U.S., and the first stop that he had when he got to the U.S. was an interview with Tucker Carlson. So in the second segment, I'm going to play just a couple clips from that interview, and we're going to talk a little bit about Kanye West, why he wore the shirt that says White Lives Matter. The answer, his actual answer to that question is probably much more simple than most people would realize. But to get to his answer, I'm not going to play the whole clip because he talks for like 3 or 4 minutes leading up to it. But we'll talk a little bit about that. But this Kanye West is somebody that people should be paying attention to. Not necessarily because of his music or because of the clothes that he designs, but because of his ability to think and reason. I've listened to a number of interviews, and like I said, the more I hear from him, the more I kind of, the more I like him. The more I like him. I think we need more people that can process information the way that he can. Maybe not always come to the same conclusions, but that can process information and aren't afraid to do it. But we're going to talk a lot more about that in the second segment. And then in the third segment, we'll do the B or not the B.
All right.
We didn't do it last week. We're going to do it this week, the B or not the B. So let's get started right now with President Biden. He recently made a trip to the Middle East. And of course, when he went there, everybody knew he was on a mission to get OPEC to increase oil production because we have been using our strategic oil reserves. I think something like 168 million or however many barrels of oil. I can't even remember, right? But we have released so much oil from our strategic oil reserves. President Biden did that because he was hoping to lower gas prices. And that might have helped a little bit, but most of the reports that have come out, Reuters did an article on this. I've talked about this at length on this program and other programs. Reuters released an article saying that the data implies that gas prices have lowered because whenever they got to like $5 and $6 a gallon across the country, different places across the country, people have decided to start using less fuel. Right? Like you might not be able to just use less fuel when you have to drive to St. Louis every day because you have to. However, people might find a work buddy and decide, hey, let's carpool. And that way we can literally save a trip between the two of us. We can literally save a trip. We both wind up saving a trip or two trips or three trips over time the more we carpool. So then we're using less fuel. And as people use less fuel, the cost of gasoline is less competitive because the price and the price will have to come down a little bit, right? Because there's less people competing to buy gas.
Yeah.
So Reuters had put out an article. There's lots of data out there that does suggest that one big reason why gasoline prices have come down, in part due to, you know, all these other global variables out there. A big part of it has to do with the fact that so many people across the country have just been finding ways to be more fuel efficient. You know, I'm not going to go to the grocery store, come home, then go to the gym, then come home, and then go to work, then come home, then go to church. Like, let's do all this in one trip. You know, things like that. Things that are just make more economic sense for you, right? I know my family's been doing it, and people probably try to find the best routes to get here and there because they want to save gas money. So President Biden still goes to the Middle East, grovels at OPEC, and keep in mind, Trump never did this because under Trump, we had the energy. We had the pipeline. We were using oil. We were using our own oil. He was signing whatever he had to sign to get the oil production in the U.S. ramped up so we could be energy independent. I'm going to play a clip. This, if you go to paulkirtman.com, the clip I'm going to play is actually on radio number 72. Okay, today is radio number 73. The clip I'm going to play right now is Peter Ducey from radio 72. It's about a two-minute clip, but just listen to this.
Over what OPEC does, he asked them to increase production. They decided to decrease it. And now gas prices back home may start rising at a terrible time for him politically. But as international politics get tricky, the president has a surprising kind word for domestic rival Ron DeSantis.
I think he's done a good job.
The president says no one F's with a Biden.
No one F's with a Biden.
But it appears OPEC Plus has done just that. The group of oil-producing nations agreeing to cut oil production by 2 million barrels per day.
It's a short-sighted decision.
Which could make inflation in America worse.
America is going to be paying sharply higher prices for everything oil-related.
While giving Russia a way to minimize the impact of global sanctions.
It's clear that OPEC Plus is aligning with Russia with today's announcement.
The president of the U.S. Oil and Gas Association says the White House has one option left. It's the one they should have never turned away from in the first place, the U.S. oil and gas industry and its workers. Life comes at you pretty fast. White House officials argue this proves them right. Fossil fuels aren't the future.
We absolutely do agree that we need to be less dependent on OPEC Plus and foreign producers of resources like oil.
But in the present, there's confusion about what the White House will do, since we were told 180 million barrels already ordered out of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, or SPR, would be it just yesterday.
We're not considering new releases from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve beyond the 180 million.
Today, in a reversal, the White House says the president will continue to direct SPR releases as appropriate to protect American consumers and promote energy security.
The president will continue to direct SPR releases as necessary.
That SPR already set to be at a 40-year low by the end of this month. White House officials are telling us they are going to work with Congress about figuring out ways to replenish those reserves. But based on everything that happened today, every barrel of oil they're going to need to buy is going to be a lot more expensive.
So there you have it. This is Peter Ducey reporting from Fox News. He's talking about the fact that the Biden administration has just flip-flopped on their policy that they weren't going to release any more strategic oil. But now that OPEC has decided to cut oil production, global oil production is going to be cut by 2%. That is incredibly significant. And so now the president, just this week, has flip-flopped and decided, okay, we are going to release more oil from the strategic oil reserves. Two things I want to say about that. The first is this. This is a bad decision for the president to make because the strategic oil reserves he seems to be using for campaign purposes. So the closer we get to the midterm election, the higher gas prices are going to go because OPEC has cut oil production. What the president's trying to do now is he's trying to strategically release this oil for campaign purposes. He's trying to release the strategic oil, I should say, the strategic oil from the strategic oil reserves. And he's doing this to keep gas prices low because what the Democrats don't want, the closer we get to the midterm election, they don't want gas prices to be high. The last thing the Democrats want is for people to be on their way to the ballot box and have to stop to fill up for gas and wind up paying $5, $6, $7 a gallon. Now, in some parts of the country, that is a very likely scenario. I think here in the St. Louis area, I remember paying as much as, what was I paying? Maybe $4.89, $4.91, $4.92. Did you pay anything like that, Zach?
Yeah, it was definitely in the fours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was paying in the high fours
Okay. Out
in Franklin County.
Mm-hmm.
And can you just imagine how the Democrats would be sweating bullets on election day knowing that gas has reached an all-time high?
Yeah, that'd be bad.
That would be bad for the Democrat. Because most people, when they go to the polls, I know that there are people out there who are thinking that people are going to the polls to vote based on things like abortion because Roe versus Wade. But in two key battleground states, Arizona and Nevada, so these are battleground states. This is where the Democrats need their base to turn out. And what they want them to turn out on are things like voting rights an abortion, especially abortion because of the Roe versus Wade decision from the Supreme Court. Now listen to this clip from CNN talking about what voters are actually thinking in these battleground states.
Another warning sign for Democrats as we get into the final month, just look at this. What is the top issue among likely voters, those likely to turn out 33 days from now? Look at this. The economy and inflation, overwhelmingly, 39% of Arizona voters say it's number one. 44% of voters in Nevada say the economy and inflation number one, dwarfing abortion or voting rights, dwarfing abortion and voting rights, perhaps issues that would play in the Democrats' favors. This is a troubling sign for Democrats.
So right now in Arizona and in Nevada, the number one issue that Democrats are going to the polls to vote on, the one issue that is driving people to vote, because this has to change, is the economy and inflation. Second to that is abortion. In Arizona, 39% of voters say economy and inflation, and only 18%. So we're talking Republicans and Democrats. Only 18% think that abortion is an issue that's driving them to the polls. In Nevada, the numbers are, it's even a starker contrast. 44% of all voters say it's the economy and inflation, and only 14% of voters are saying abortion has anything to do with why it is they're going to the polls. So Democrats are going to be losing their minds. And I know, like, you look at this race up in Pennsylvania and you see Fetterman and Dr. Oz, and, you know, and is it neck and neck? And that's not a joke about Fetterman's neck. I don't know if you guys saw this. Did you see this? He has this big bump growing out the back of his neck.
No.
He's just got a big, he's just, I don't know if it's just an extra thick neck or what. That's why, I think that's why, one reason why he wears a scarf a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Tucker Carlson calls it his running mate. He just has this big lump. I don't know what it is, if it's an old injury or if it's just his genetics. I don't know what it is. But so anyway, that was not a Fetterman joke. But in Pennsylvania, you know, Fetterman might take this. I mean, we can't really rely on the polls. But when the polls have such a huge, stark contrast, there has to be something going on, right? So right now, economy and inflation, and you heard on this other clip, this Peter Ducey clip that I had played just a few minutes ago. If gas prices start going up, gas prices going up will make the cost of everything else go up, because it costs fuel to truck goods from the ships in the port to the shelf at Walmart. And sometimes that truck has to make its way from San Diego or Virginia or Florida. Has to make its way all the way deep inside the middle of the U.S. right here to good old St. Louis. And the fuel it takes to drive those trucks is just going to be becoming more expensive. And the businesses, the companies that are trying to create the process to get those goods here, it's becoming more expensive to them. So how do they make up that cost? They pass that cost right on to the consumer. And so we're going to see goods and services go up as it becomes more expensive to get those goods and those products to the store shelves. I think this makes sense for most people. And so it's not just the gas prices that's going to have Democrats in a panic. It's the fact that as gas prices continue to go up, we're going to see the cost of other goods and services necessarily being forced up with it. And we're going to see this inflation pressure begin to mount. So it's very likely, very possible, that we see inflation, if it doesn't come down, it might start moving its way back up. There's a lot of variables in play here. This is certainly going to be one of them as it relates to inflation. And people are thinking how that's going to affect their finances, and businesses and companies are thinking about how it's going to affect their bottom line and how many people they can hire, or do they have to freeze hiring or lay people off. This situation is not going away anytime soon. In the studio today with Zach Factor. Zach, are you a Kanye West fan?
A little bit, yeah.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't listen to his music. I know who he is. Yeah. I mean, he's a major player in the music industry for sure, and the fashion industry. Two things that I don't pay very much attention to.
Yeah.
But when you have somebody who is outspoken, it doesn't matter where they are politically, if they have a platform like that, you know, if they're a billionaire who is a mogul in two different major industries of our culture, cultural industries, I guess you could call it, you got to take notice, because they're going to be in the news, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be talking about things. So what happened earlier this week is Kanye West with Candace Owens. There's this picture going around of both of them, and she's wearing a white shirt with black lettering, and he's wearing a black shirt with white lettering, and the shirts both say, "White Lives Matter."
Uh-oh.
I mean, as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, here we go. This is going to break the internet, and it almost did. You know, if you say all lives matter,
mm-hmm.
people will, you know, the left, the progressives, the woke, they will take your head off.
Right.
And they will often say, you can't say white lives matter because right now the fight is for black lives because of police brutality. You know, even though there's not really any statistical documentation, you know, I mean, is there police brutality? Yeah, there is. Is there, do white people ever get murdered by bad police officer? Yeah, it happens. I mean, there's a video of a guy. This is really sad. I mean, I've seen a number of these. You know, I don't even know his name, which is terrible, but there's a body cam footage of a guy in Arizona who had a BB gun or a airsoft gun, and a police officer told him to come out in the hallway, and he said, it's airsoft. He put it down, and he tells the guy to lay down. The guy lays down. He says, crawl towards me, and the guy's pants are falling down because he's crawling across the floor, so he reaches behind him to pull his pants up, and the officer yells at him. He said, it's my pants. I'm just trying to pull my pants up, and he has his hands up. And the officer just shoots him and kills him. I mean, and the whole time the guy's crying, you know, like, you know, please don't shoot me. And the mm-hmm. officer shoots him anyway. But it was a white guy. Doesn't get a lot of attention, right? But if you were to say all lives matter, they will say, you know what? And I've heard this illustration on the radio before. People say, well, listen, if you live on a street and one of the houses is burning down, we all pitch in to put that house out. You don't just say, no, all houses matter. Well, actually, you can. You do say all houses matter because that includes the house that's burning down. So, of course, we're going to be there. And the reason I'm there to help put the fire out in that house is because all houses matter. It's not just my house, not just your house, all houses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard people use that illustration to say that you can't say all lives matter because, you know, using that illustration, if one person's house is burning down, then you just have to rush over to that house. But, yeah, you do. But that doesn't mean you still can't say all houses matter because that burning house includes houses in that phrase, all houses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do all lives matter? Yeah. Kanye went a step further. He didn't wear a shirt that said all lives matter. He went and wore a shirt that said white lives matter. What are your first thoughts on that?
It's a good way to get attention.
It is. And Kanye West is good at that. But what I like about Kanye West, you have so many people in popular culture that want attention for the sake of attention. They want to be famous. They don't want to be famous for anything in particular. They just want to be famous. What they're mm-hmm. what they're clawing after is fame, right?
Right.
It's not about their contributions. It's not about anything else. They just want to be famous. Kanye West, I want to play this first clip in this Tucker Carlson interview. And this isn't about his shirt. This is about something else at the fashion show. So he shows up at this Tucker Carlson interview still wearing the name tag from his fashion show. It's still on the lanyard. It's still around his neck. He obviously came straight from there. Okay, here we go.
Fashion Week, you just landed, and yeah. The lanyard's still on from it, and there's a photograph on it. What is that?
It's a photograph of a baby's ultrasound.
Why is that? And that you designed that?
Yes.
Why? What does that mean?
It just represents life. I'm pro-life.
Boy, so you wear it on a badge. What kind of response do you get? And good, amen. I agree.
I don't care about people's responses. I care about the fact that there's more black babies being aborted than born in New York City at this point. That 50% of black death in America is abortion.
So there's Kanye West. Tucker Carlson, the first thing he asked him about while he's wearing this badge from his fashion show, and on the badge, the picture, the graphic on the badge is an mm-hmm. ultrasound. And Tucker's like, tell me about that. That's kind of interesting. Never seen that before. Kanye designed that badge. And what he's doing is he's wearing the issues he cares about on his sleeve, almost literally. Well, literally, actually, considering the shirt that he's wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And Tucker says, what do you care, you know, what about people's responses to that? And Kanye says, I'm pro-life, and I don't care about people's responses. And so here he is, right? He is in the midst of Hollywood. He's in the midst of popular culture deep inside. Like, he is by far one of the world's largest influences on popular culture. And he doesn't care what people's responses are. You might hear somebody on the left say, I'm going to speak my truth, right? I always hated that phrase. But that's not what he's saying. He's just saying, it's because I'm pro-life. And I don't care what people's responses are. I care about the fact that more black babies are being aborted in New York City than being born. That's a problem. And so a guy who says that position, takes that position, I care that more black babies are being killed than being born in New York City, this guy ought to be able to say whatever lives matter he wants to say, because he's already met the criteria for probably having done more for black lives by bringing in attention to this issue than Black Lives Matter has done in the last 5 years combined. So I like this. I like that he's just, you know, out and out, outspoken, just ready to talk about the things he believes. But now Tucker begins to ask him a little bit about his shirt. So let's hear what he has to say about wearing this White Lives Matter shirt and the response that he got from this.
Wearing the hat, I had someone call me last night and said, anybody wearing a White Lives Matter shirt is going to be greenlit, and that means that they're going to beat them up if they wear it. And I'm like, you know, okay, green light me then. you know, God builds warriors in a different way.
So now Kanye West is getting into a little bit of the response that he got, but he's okay with it. Now, this is a really interesting dynamic. I might get a little bit deeper here. When I was in the Marines, one of my jobs, in addition to being a Marine Corps infantry squad leader, is I was a Marine Corps mixed martial arts instructor. The Marine Corps has a program. We call it MCMAP, Marine Corps Mixed Martial Arts. And one of the first things that I would teach Marines is this. I would ask them, who's been in a fight? Some people would raise their hands. Some people would not raise their hands. So you know some Marines have just never actually been in a fist fight. And so we would actually get in a circle, and we would fight. Not 100%, but we would fight. It's important for people who are going to be warriors. It is important for them to know what it feels like to get punched. And here's why. You'd rather get punched in a training environment. You'd rather get punched in kind of a friendly circle. And the reason it's important to know what it's like to get punched is because if the first time you ever get punched is in a real fight, you seriously run a risk of getting rattled and not knowing how to respond because you've never been hit before, right? And so if you've never been punched and you find yourself in a fight and now you're getting punched for the first time in your life, there's a good chance that you could lose that fight because now your head is rocked. Your mind is rattled. You don't know how to respond. You've just experienced something that you've never experienced before. Kanye is saying God builds warriors in different ways. This is a guy who has completely embraced the fact that he knows he's gonna get punched. So if you're gonna stand up, I wrote an article several years ago, said if you're gonna stand up, expect to get hit. He is expecting the punch. He's expecting it. And because he's expecting it, he can almost embrace it. Now, you can tell from his voice in this interview and when you watch the video, and you can watch this video at paulkurtman.com. Scroll down to radio number 73. I have the whole interview on there. And you can tell, even though Kanye knows he's going to get punched, he does it anyway, wears the White Lives Matter shirt anyway, the fact that he's still getting punched, he's accepting it, he's taking it, he's absorbing it, but you can tell from his voice that it still bothers him. And here's why. Because he's got his friends saying, anybody that wears that shirt's going to get greenlit. And he says, being greenlit, that means violence. Like, you're going to get beat up, right? You're going to get knocked out. And his response is, fine, greenlight me. See, you can be a bully and say, hey, you can do this, but here's what's going to happen. But when the person that's being bullied says, fine, bring it on, that is going to change the dynamic of the fight. People might, at that point, begin to back down. And so you've got other entertainers out there, people like Eminem or, I don't know these guys' names, Diddy, Sean Puffy Combs, right? Okay. Like all these guys, they think differently than Kanye West does on these political issues, but they're not going to go there with him because they respect him in other ways. They know he's not a guy that backs down. So if you watch interviews where people are talking about Kanye West, they still talk very well of him, right? They don't bash him for his views. Why? Because he's not afraid to get bashed, and he says, bring it on. Go ahead. Bash me. I'll tell you I'm pro-life, and I'll put an ultrasound on the badge for my fashion show. So everybody coming into my fashion show has to wear an ultrasound of an unborn baby around their neck. That's what he made people do on his fashion show. And then he wears the White Lives Matter shirt. And he says, I'm not afraid to get punched, basically. But then he goes on a little bit further. And I'm going to get to this here in just one second. What I like about Kanye West is the fact that he wants to be thoughtful and he is a thinker. He's always talked about how he's a free thinker. Other people, his contemporaries, his peers in this industry, talk about how he's a free thinker. Listen to what he does here with Tucker Carlson. And then I'm going to talk about this little interaction here, maybe just for a minute.
Just watch it and act like it wasn't happening. And they stay quiet about it. I want to answer the white. Yeah. I feel like someone caught what I was saying, the comparison to Tonya Harden about the White Lives Matter. You know, my dad is an educated.
Okay. What we just heard there is Tucker had asked him, why did you wear the shirt that says White Lives Matter? Kanye West is one of these guys. He's not just going to come straight out and give you an immediate, well, because X, Y, Z, and then that's it. He is a thinker. And so he starts answering the question, but he starts out talking about a text that his father sent him. And he talks about that, and then he comes to a conclusion. Then he talks about something that kind of spurs off of that. Then he comes to a conclusion. Tucker tries to follow up with one of the things that he's saying. And what Kanye West says, hold on. No. I'm going to get to answer your question about the White Lives Matter shirt because I'm going to answer that question. So what he's telling Tucker is he's saying, I just want to think about the question you asked me. I'm going to think through it. It's a serious question. I'm giving you a serious answer, but you got to let me continue to think and process the question as I respond so I can give you the answer. And so what I like about him is the fact that he's not afraid to take a moment and pause and just say, hey, listen, serious questions deserve some serious time just to think about the issue. And I saw him do this in another interview. I wish I had the clip for this. He did an interview. I think it might have been on CNN. And somebody had asked him a question and it went silent. And after about 5 or 6 seconds, the interviewer said, you know what, we'll cut to break and then we'll come back. And Kanye interrupts him and says, no, we're not going to cut to break. We're not cutting to break. You asked me a serious question. I'm going to think for a moment. And like just totally controlled that interview when they were going to go to break, when they weren't. When you have somebody who's wanting to be thoughtful about responding to questions, this isn't about sound bites for Kanye West. This is about thinking. This is about reasoning. This is about coming to the truth of an issue. At minute 8:20 in this segment, and I'm not going to play it. I want you to go to paulkirkman.com. You can scroll down and see the timestamps on this video. But at minute 8:20, Kanye West's answer to why he wore the shirt that says White Lives Matter, 3 words. Can you guess what the words were, Zach? 3 words. Why did Kanye West wear a shirt that says White Lives Matter? Quote, because they do. That's all it was. And nobody should be offended by saying anybody's life matters, whether it's Black Lives Matter. Of course they do. White Lives Matter. Of course they do. All Lives Matter. Of course they do. I'm telling you, I'm liking this guy more and more all the time. We're going to do 2 things this segment. We're going to play the B or not the B, and then we're going to also talk about a book. But first things first, we're going to give Zach, what's your score? You remember? I don't even remember. We need a board or something.
I think I'm, I've won 2, lost 1?
1-2 and lost 1. That's right. Okay, well, so you're doing pretty good. We're going to play this again. We're going to see how well you do this time. Maybe eventually we'll get some other people in here. And we can create some teams or something. But we'll play the B or not the B here in just a second. Then I'm going to talk about this book. Stick around to learn about this book. I highly, highly recommend it, and you want to know what it is. But first, we will go straight to the B or not the B.
It's time for the B or not the B.
Okay. So the way we play this is I'm going to read a number of headlines, and they are either satire, fake headlines from the Babylon Bee, or they are real headlines from not the Bee. Okay, so first headline is this. Now, I got 2 headlines in here that are a little bit strange. Mm-hmm. In a list of 12 genius ways for Congress to pay off the $31 trillion national debt, one of the ways listed is sell the moon to China for $31 trillion. Was that really one of the bullet points in 12 genius ways for Congress to pay off the $31 trillion of national debt? Was that from the Babylon Bee, or was that actually a real article?
I hope I'm right on this, but I'm going to go with the Bee.
That's right. That is the Babylon Bee. Yes. We could not sell the moon to China for $31 trillion. I don't know. Maybe we should try. I'd be fine with trying. See what they say. Okay. Chinese company deploys robot dogs with machine guns from drones.
Oh, that's definitely not the B.
Very good. Did you know? Have you heard about that story?
I've heard about machine guns being attached to robot dogs.
Okay.
I have heard about that.
This is real. China has a company. I think the company's called Blood Dragon or something. I mean, already sounds very ferocious. But they have drones that will fly in and deploy robot dogs that have machine guns attached to their backs.
Mm-hmm.
That is a real headline. Okay, so you're good. You're good right now. You got two. In an opinion piece, the headline is, Joe Biden wandering away from the podium is a powerful statement on quiet, dignified leadership. Is that a real headline or a fake headline? Is that a real opinion piece from a real newspaper? Or is that the Babylon Bee? Joe Biden wandering away from the podium is a powerful statement on quiet, dignified leadership.
That's not the Bee.
That is the Babylon Bee. It's the Babylon Bee today.
Okay.
It might be a real headline tomorrow. Have you seen this video of Joe Biden walking backwards?
Not the walking backwards, but I've, you know, seen the wandering before. And I could see someone coming to his defense like, this is just him big thinking, you know, that kind of thing.
Trying to make it sound like dignified, quiet leadership. There's a video of reporters asking him a question, and while they're asking him questions, he starts taking small steps backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Not just one or two, like 8 or 9.
Really?
Like he gets distant, and then he's just moving. You know, slowly. Think of that Homer Simpson meme where he's like backing into the bushes.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it's like. Okay, so
oh my God.
You got you got two, but you're down one.
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Hurricane ravaged Florida town raises Ukrainian flag, so Congress will send aid. Is that true? Did a Florida town actually raise a Ukrainian flag? A signal to Congress, send us aid? Is that the B or not the B?
Oh, man. That's a hard one because, you know, Florida, kind of known as a red state, a more red state, making fun of the government for sending aid. I'm going to go with the B, though.
That is the Babylon B. You're doing really good today. This is really good. Yeah. All right. Here we go. I got two more here. In a list of 9 reasons not to worry about the tanking economy, one of the reasons that was listed is this. It's worth it if the tanking economy helps save the climate. Was that really published in a reputable news magazine, or was that from the Babylon Bee?
I'm going to say that was not the Bee.
That is the Babylon Bee. That's not true today. I always have to preface this with, it's not true today, but it could be true tomorrow. Tomorrow, the New York Times might say, hey, the economy might be tanking, but at least the climate is going to get saved from all this massive spending by the federal government. I mean, Nancy Pelosi pretty much said as much.
Yeah.
So it's not a real headline today, but it could be tomorrow. So what is it now? 3-2?
3-2.
3-2. Okay.
Catching up.
Final one. This is the final question. So you might wind up, this might be a tie if you get this one right. Gay couple in New York City. A gay couple is suing New York City to use women as incubators, arguing that not allowing gay men access to taxpayer-funded surrogacy is discrimination.
I'm gonna say not the B.
That is not the B. That is a real headline. So you've tied. We're gonna have to. I don't have a tiebreaker question here. So maybe next week, we'll have to add one next week, but that's true. There's a gay couple, two men in New York City. They're suing New York City because they don't have access to taxpayer funded surrogacy, programs. I don't think there should be taxpayer funded surrogacy, but if you're gay, the laws of nature dictate that you're not supposed to have kids. Mm-hmm. So, having taxpayers be forced to pay for a surrogacy, I don't know. I've got problems with that. I wouldn't want my taxpayer dollars going to pay for surrogacy for anybody, honestly. Okay, that was the B or not the B, so that was a tie. So next week we'll have to have a tiebreaker to determine whether or not you won or lost. So everyone's just going to have to stay tuned for the big question next Saturday at News Talk STL right here on the Paul Kirtman Show to find out if Zach Factor has won the B or not the B. We won't know until next week.
cliffhanger.
It's a cliffhanger.
Paul knows how to keep them coming
it's
back.
It's a nail biter. So, you know, don't get too anxious during the week, folks. We'll find out next Saturday. But now on to something else. It was news this week. U.S. Senator Ben Sasse has announced his resignation from the Senate. He's going to take a job as the president of, I think, the University of Florida system, I think. So he's going to be relocating to Florida, where he's going to take up that particular office for the University of Florida. But Ben Sasse wrote one of the best books that I have read in a long time. He's a historian. He's an academic. He wrote a book called, and this came out a number of years ago, but it's called The Vanishing American Adult, Our Coming-of-Age Crisis and How to Rebuild a Culture of Self-Reliance. And the point that he's getting at in the book is we live in a culture today that has really created and fostered this idea of entitlement, really. So as children grow older and as they grow more entitled, that's what stunts them. That's what stunts their growth and development into adulthood. So eventually, you know, you wind up with these 25, 35, 45-year-old guys that are sitting around, staying at their parents' house. They're just not, like, there's no ambition. They're not amounting to much. They're not trying to achieve anything or contribute or build anything. And that is a real problem in Western society, especially in America, because we've had it so good, people just feel entitled to good things. And I don't know if that's an observation that you have made before, Zach, but I would say that that is a problem for the modern American male, especially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, what Ben Sasse does in his book is he goes back and he talks about the way people used to come of age, you know, having rites of passage. Every culture, the Native Americans had this. They have it in China. They have it in Africa. You know, as young boys grow up at a certain age, you think of a bar mitzvah, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or even a bat mitzvah in the Jewish culture. At a certain point in time, you are looking forward to this moment where you become an adult. You have responsibilities. Society and your family and the government, everybody's requiring more responsibility, more independence from you, more good decisions to be made. But we don't really have that. We don't really have that anymore. Like, we don't have these milestones that we hit, you know? We don't have these traditions of adulthood. And so now there's this term that's become popular recently called adulting. So you'll see somebody post on Instagram a picture of them doing laundry, and they're like, well, I gotta do laundry. I let it get behind. Hashtag adulting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of become a cute thing. But the reality is that adulting is just supposed to be being an adult. It's what you're supposed to do all the time and where you can really embrace responsibility. Tom Cruise said something one time in an interview. I was in an airport and I watched this interview with Tom Cruise while I was waiting for the plane. And he made the point of how he embraces and thrives off of responsibility. And I really kind of took that to heart because I never thought about it that way. Like, you will thrive off of something. Some people, if you're an introvert or extrovert, they say, you know, you re-energize when you're around people, or introverts re-energize when they get some alone time and they can kind of recharge, you know. But there's different things that make people want to thrive. And we've gotten away from this idea of thriving off of our responsibility, feeling good about the work that we're required to do and getting it done. And so in this book, he talks about how a long time ago, 7-year-olds, as soon as you were old enough to milk a cow, you were milking a cow. Like, you were contributing to the family. The family didn't have milk that day unless the 6-year-old milked the cow. Like, it wasn't the 6-year-old had to wait until they're 15 or 16. As soon as their hands were able to do some work, they were doing work. He talks about how 100 years ago, 120 years ago especially, you would have young kids that would be sent to go and travel 2 or 3 hours to walk, to get into town, to get to the general store because mom needed sugar, or she needed flour, or dad needed X, Y, or Z. You know, you name it. They needed something. The family needed something. They're busy. Let's send 9-year-old Susie into the general store. So she'll walk for 2.5 hours, get what she has to get, and she'll walk back. And so for the day, her job is to go get these things that the family needs in town. And so from that, she gets to travel. She's alone. She has some responsibility. I know people today really kind of freak out because of human trafficking and kidnapping and all that. And I don't really know what the statistics are on this, but I know as a parent of 4 young children, terrifies me. However, I also see the value in when they're very young, giving them some responsibility that they have to understand the rest of the family is depending on you to get this done. And being able to do those things and embrace those responsibilities from an early age, and the first time they get old enough to travel by themselves, that's when you start hitting these milestones, these rites of passage. And what Ben Sasse is saying is make a big deal out of this stuff. Give them some chores when they're young, really young, some things that they have to get done for the family. And if they don't get it done, they need to know that they let the whole family down. The family was depending on them for this. Instill in them a desire to accomplish and contribute on behalf of the family. Another thing he says in the book is he has a whole chapter in here about a family building a bookshelf. He says every family needs a canon. And I had never considered this before, but it's what we're doing for our kids. There are some books that I have on a book list now that as my kids get older, I'm reading them. I want my kids to start reading these books because it will help shape their values and their outlook on the world and on life. So having a canon. So this whole book, it's got recommendations from people like Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs. People love Mike Rowe, right? Because here's the guy who's like, get your hands dirty, do the work, you know? Cory Booker, Mary Catherine Hamm, other people that have written about this book. But I would highly recommend Ben Sasse, The Vanishing American Adult. And it's a good book for parents to read, but it's also a good book for children to read. Not like six-year-olds, you know. But when they're 10, when they're 11, when they're 12, get them reading this so that way they begin to understand the importance of not just hashtag adulting, but actually becoming an adult, you know. And this whole process has everything to do with parents being parents and understanding that their children will someday be parents. Kanye West, in that interview that we played in the last segment, he talks a lot about his father. And you never know if you're going to have a child who's going to become a music mogul or a mogul in the fashion industry, a multi-billionaire who has any platform he wants. And so you want your kids to grow up well and reasoned because you don't know the opportunities that they're going to have in the future to actually contribute and make the world, the country, their families even better. Anyway, Ben Sasse, The Vanishing American Adult. You can go to paulkirtman.com and email me there if you want more information about that book. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter at Paul Kirtman. Zach, it's been good being with you. We'll have this tiebreaker question next week.
We'll make that the first headline.
We'll make up the first. Yeah. Well, then you'll get it because then it'll be the B. So we won't make it. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.